Dude, you're killing the vibe, Hornsby says from the pool. Don't make me be the dad and make me turn off the Wi-Fi. Ignoring him, I watch the highlight clip on my phone one more time. Body fake to the left, deke right, crossover, shoots to upper left pocket. It was simple. Any teenager could pull off that move. Hell, I wouldn't even call it a move. I would call it basic hockey skills. And yet, I didn't stop it. Watch it all you want. It's not going to change anything. Taters, our right wing, says. But how? How did we miss this block? I toss my phone on my large pool lounger and lean back, pushing my hand through my hair. I let it go right between my legs. That one shot didn't cost us the playoffs, Taters answers. Everyone had a part in that massive failure of a game. Yeah, but that one shot was the winning goal, which means the blame still falls on me.
Nothing you can do about it now, though,
says Eli Hornsby. He places his hands behind his head and lounges back, accepting the loss and allowing himself to relax. Not sure how he can. I'm still reeling from our loss and drop out of the playoffs.
And what's rule number one when we get to the cabin? He continues.
No hockey, Posey says before he runs, jumps, and cannonballs into the pool. Every summer, after the season, me and my boys head up to Banff, Canada, to Silas Taters' cabin. Well, mansion, but he calls it a cabin, and we de-stress. We forget about the season, soak up the sun and picturesque mountains. The cabin is the perfect place to do that, with views of the Canadian Rocky Mountains, the small-town feel of Banff, being away from Vancouver city life and far from any sort of training facility, besides the million-dollar gym in the basement of the cabin. But this year, I'm not quite in the mood to relax. Not when we were so close for our third championship win. I wanted that win. I'm not sure how much time I have left in front of the net. And after we were so close to making it to the finals for a chance to hold the Stanley Cup over my head and skate around the ice knowing that my team, the Vancouver Agitators, are number one, burns my soul.
Oh God, they're all looking at me. I've never in my life been in a room with this many solidly attractive men. I'm pretty sure the one they keep calling horny is a Disney prince reincarnated. Solid jawline and just a beautiful face. Frankly, he's too pretty. Potato, I think that's his name, the one who owns the house, he's got that whole I don't care about my appearance look, when we all know he does, which of course makes him even hotter. The Cookie Monster has sincerely one of the best smiles I think I've ever seen. Full of boyish charm, it makes me want to smile just looking at him. I can't see much of the book guy other than his hands, and wow, those are big. And then there's the goalie. I can't quite recall his name. Laws, maybe? I was too distracted by his glacial blue eyes and his dark blonde hair. It's longer than I prefer on a guy, hitting him just below his chin, but it's incredibly sexy on him. Not sure it's his eyes or the beachy waves in his hair, but he intimidates me, more so than the pretty boy. But the thing that bothers me the most about the goalie is there's something vaguely familiar about him, as if I've seen him before. I really shouldn't be here. Catherine, my best friend and personal bodyguard, would have a heart attack if she knew I just walked into a strange house full of burly men I've never met before, men who could easily capture me and hide me in their basement. Her words, most likely. Every situation I'm in always ends with me held in a basement by my captor, according to her. It took lots of convincing and leaving without her blessing in order for me to go on this trip. And I had to promise that if I did wind up in a captor's basement, that if I called her for help, she gets to tell me, I told you so, first. I hope stepping into this house isn't going to prove her right. But what other options do I really have? I don't think I would be able to find my car in this storm. I almost slipped and fell multiple times just trying to make it to this house. I can't imagine going back out there looking for another safe haven. When my car got stuck, I realized that I had one option: fill my backpack with as much from my suitcase as I could, along with food and water, and hope for the best. I'm standing in my only option.